You, I think, from what the old gentleman said just now, are still living on Earth. I hastened to explain my position, and he turned to H. J. L. But who are you, sir? L. told him briefly, and he replied, in a respectful tone, then you are one of the messengers? L. Oh, dear no. Only a relation of this young man who has come to this plane to help him. But let us hurry on. The gardener then showed us the lily garden, where were growing at once every kind of lily which will grow out of doors in England. But the beds were grouped according to the season, to avoid incongruity so far as possible. We then passed on to see the summer and, finally, the spring garden, in which were all manner of bulbs. At length we returned to the drive, and I said, I must be going. The gardener replied, besides these there are other divisions in these grounds. Thus, beyond the bedded out garden on the left of the house is the fernery. It is very pretty, and centers round a little stream which falls over a waterfall and then goes into the lake. There are several other men at work besides our four selves, and we are always busy, yet never overworked. If you two gentlemen would like to call on Miss H, she would be delighted to meet you, and if you are interested in old furniture, the house is full of it. They agreed to do so, and we parted. I went through the gate into the road. The view grew misty, and I lost consciousness. Chapter 32, More About the Garden. September 19th. 1916. I found R.L.W. and H.J.L. in their house. This visit was devoted mainly to private matters. After a while, I inquired, what was the garden like beyond the house? R.L.W. lawn after lawn, terraced one below the other, till we reached the river, which here spread out into a lake. Above and below the lake were spinneys and orchards. On the lake were swans and a gondola. The gondolier was there, and good-naturedly offered to take us on the lake. So we went aboard, and as he rowed he sang a song. I suppose it was in Italian, but we understood it quite easily. It was all about the sunlight on the water. We enjoyed it immensely. As we returned we stopped to admire a beautiful fountain on one of the Iorns. The jet of water appeared to me about 100 feet high. J. W. Anything more to tell me about that garden? R.L.W. Not much, except that we found the owner had a large aviary. The birds, however, were not kept in cages, but lived in the woods and garden. The only thing that kept them there was the bond of love for the lady, and therefore hundreds came to her. They liked the quiet of the gardens, and the fact that few people came to disturb them. She said, for the most part, they made little attempt to hunt for food, and spent most of their time in singing. There were countless flocks of butterflies also. They likewise appeared drawn to her because she loved them. All manner of butterflies I saw, not merely tortoise shell and peacock, but rare ones such as the swallowtail and the large copper and the camberwell beauty, which are practically extinct in England. J. W. Well, I must be going now. And so I left them. September 26th. I only stayed a few minutes, and told Rex mother was dying, and he said he would go down to Earth to meet her. Chapter XXXIL, My Mother Passes Over. October 2nd, 1916. On arriving in the room where R.L.W. and H.J.L. lived, Rex said, I know about mother's passing over. I went to the vicarage on the Tuesday, that is to say, as soon as you left me. At Charing Cross Road I saw mother lying there unconscious. Noticed the picture of Blanche had been placed over the fireplace, and saw Miss H buzzing about. The pater seemed to be the most of the time. Presently I saw you arrive, and thought you could see me. But you did not, nor did you see me once the whole time, which rather surprised me. Mother's astral body was partly out of her physical body, but seemed to be lying supine and unconscious, as it were. I saw you come three times on the Wednesday. After you had gone, I could see that the astral form was slowly drawing away from her body from the head. Gradually it freed itself and floated above her body, connected on life by the silver cord. By degrees this seemed to fray away from the head, like the strands of a rope, till only two or three threads remained. One snapped. There was another pause, and then another went, and then the last thread broke, and still the astral floated over her corpse. While this was happening, I was aware of a number of astral beings who gathered round. I will tell you more about them at another time. I called Mother, but she did not move. Again and again I spoke, hoping to arouse her, but with no result. Then one of the newcomers spoke. She needs sleep, she will remain like this for some little while, and we have come to look after her. Have no fear. We are a band of spirits who make this our special work. Come with us and see that all is well with her. They lifted her and carried her away, four of them, while two walked beside her. It seemed to me as if the body floated. I leant over and kissed her, but she showed no sign of recognition or consciousness. I spoke to the being who was in charge of the party. Who are you? He. I am a being on the astral plane, as you are. I was a doctor on Earth, and so were those three. The two women were nurses. We are taking your mother to a kind of hospital. HJL was with me, and said, on the spirit plane where I dwell I have seen such hospitals, but did not know there were similar institutions here, but of course, I can see that they are probably even more needed here than there. The doctor. I noticed you seemed different from most of the denizens of these spheres. I should like to have an opportunity of questioning you about life there. HJL yes, certainly, but not just now. The doctor. What brought you back here after having once quitted this plane? HJL. When I came to help my young nephew, but you must not suppose that I was on this plane before passing onto the spirit plane. L was an old man when I died, and shed my astral body almost as soon as I did my physical one, and so practically saw nothing of this sphere until I assumed an astral body in order to help my nephew. The doctor. I wonder which is best? I think, however, L, am glad that I have had some time here first. I feel one's life experience would not be complete without it. Of course, no man can know all there is to learn, but the more one experiences the better, I fancy. RLW continued. By this time we had drawn near to a high wall, and passing through a gateway, found ourselves in a most exquisite garden. It was very like the one we all three saw recently. There were countless flowers and beautiful lawns, stately trees and flowering shrubs. Here and there fountains played and streams rippled along over their shiny beds. The water looked clear and limpid, and often the streams widened out into large lakes on which I noticed boats. Yes, real boats, which were being rowed and one which was being driven by a sail. Till then I had hardly noticed that there was a soft breeze blowing. In these boats were many persons, while members of both sexes walked about the grounds. Overhead birds sang merrily, and butterflies flitted from flower to flower. It seemed very like old Mother Earth, but yet there was a subtle difference, impossible to describe yet very real. Then I saw the hospital. I think it had once been some fine French chateau of the 18th century, but if so it must have been remodeled intimately either before or after its arrival on the astral plane, for inside it seemed a modern hospital. At the same time, I could not help noticing that it had a greater air of comfort and peaceful calm than the hospitals I saw on Earth. It was not so cold and bare as they usually were. I discovered too, that the operating room was replaced by the hypnotizing rooms, in which the patients lay on couches while the doctors treated them, either by simple hypnotism or else by various forms of suggestion. Again, crowds of students were not admitted to watch these operations, at most two might come with a doctor, as it was considered that a large number of different types of men with differing magnetic conditions would upset the patients or even the doctor himself when engaged on this delicate task. Therefore, there were many small rooms rather than one big theater. They took Mother into a room, where she was laid on a couch by herself, and left in charge of two nurses, still sleeping quietly. Chapter 34, of Diseases of the Astral Body. As we went out, HJL spoke to the doctor. HJL, do you get many cases of this kind? I must admit that I have not come across any cases in these spheres or in my own spirit realm before in which the soul lay sleeping like this. The doctor. Oh, we get a fair number, but it's certainly less common than most other forms of diseases here. RLW, what sorts of diseases do you get here? I thought disease was left behind with the body? The doctor. Merely physical diseases, of course, are, and as the bulk of the ills man is prone to are purely bodily complaints, this is a happier world than the earth. But even on the material earth the mind has far more to do with physical defects than the average man imagines, and here it is almost entirely a matter of healing the mind and spirit. Typical complaints are, -1, religious mania, and let me tell you that is one of the most difficult diseases with which to deal. -2, hysteria of different kinds, especially a kind which makes the victim believe that he is crippled. Of course, though normally such physical defects which belong to the earth life do not remain with the astral body, yet in these cases the mind makes the astral body behave as if it were crippled. -3, cases like your mother's, in which the spirit does not awaken to consciousness. RLW But when the body no longer holds the spirit, how can a defect in the brain be carried into the astral plane? Now that my mother no longer suffers from paralysis, how is it that she still appears like a victim with that complaint? The doctor. Your mother's illness was partly, though not entirely, due to her soul. It was caused by certain faults of character, of which you are aware, and these have to be dealt with. Again, her illness has really been a very exhaustive one and enfeebled her soul, which has tended to atrophy for some years. This was not her fault in the main, but due to some physical defects, and especially to her brain being clouded, which prevented her keeping her astral body fully alive. But you must leave us now, as we have much work to do. You can come again. So, after once more kissing Mother, HJL, and I departed. JW How long will she be like that? The doctor said it might be a short time, or it might be several months. 6 months as Earth reckons time. W. Did you see anything of the funeral? Of course, Mother didn't. RLW Yes, did we not, boss? Yes, the requiem sent up a great shaft of light, which seemed to transfigure the hospital. And Mother smiled in her sleep, but otherwise did not stir. I saw right down into the church. Saw you, and B and C. Later, saw the funeral service, and even came to the actual interment. W. Did you notice any other people at the services? RLW Saw C and I and a lot of others, including quite a number of spirits. By the by, when at the house I noticed rather a nice Persian kitten. It saw me too, but was rather frightened, arched its back and spat at me. That cat's second sight was better than yours, Jack. And he laughed. After we got back here we talked things over, and agreed that though it was a bit disappointing for me not to be able to greet Mother properly, it was probably the best thing under the circumstances. HJL Yes, I think she would have been rather lost over here if just turned loose, where she had few friends. As it is, she is sure to make some at the hospital, and will be warned of the dangers of this world of which everyone on Earth is so ignorant. But now you had better be off. So I returned to Earth. Chapter 35, Mother Awakens. October 9, 1916. On entering the house of H.J.L., I found him alone there. H.J.L. Rex is with his mother. She has just recovered consciousness, and I am waiting here to take you to the hospital to see her. We started at once. And on passing through the gates of the hospital, which was some little way from H.J.L.'s house, I was struck with the beauty of the garden. We entered the hospital, and found ourselves in a kind of waiting room. This room was comfortably furnished, and looked out over the gardens. We were not long here when a nurse came in and told us to follow her. We entered a large well-lit room and saw Mother, with Rex seated beside her. "Why did you not tell me Rex was dead?" was her first greeting. I endeavored to pacify her, for she was evidently very annoyed. However, her irritation soon subsided, and she next said, "I can't understand things. Rex says he is dead, and I am dead, but what are you?" I then explained, as briefly as I could, how it was that I was privileged to come into these planes. She evidently did not fully grasp it but, at the same time, appeared satisfied. I then introduced her to H.J.L., but she said at once, "Oh, Rex has already done that. And I'm glad Rex brought Mr. L. along with him, we've always been good friends." I then began, "Do you remember anything of your passing over?" Mother. Most of it seems a blank, but I remember hearing you call me and saw your face, as in a dream. I think I was alive then. If so, that is the last thing I remember till I awoke here, and saw Rex looking at me. I thought I'd been sent to a home and that Rex had returned from France. Even now I can hardly believe I'm dead. Indeed, it all seems like a dream. My talking to you seems very much like a dream. You look different from the others, less real. She ceased, and the doctor, who was standing by, said, "You had better leave her for a bit. The spirit is both weak and clouded still. All the same, I am surprised at her waking so soon. Often they sleep for months and months of earth time. How long, exactly, is it since she passed over to us? J. W. Nearly 12 days. The doctor. Yes, I consider she is making good progress. But it will be some time before she is really normal. The spirit has been clouded so long, that it will take a considerable time to recover." Mother interrupted. "How is B? Is her birthday soon?" J. W. "Yes, in less than a week. She is very well, and was very sorry when you died. She always remembers you and Rex in her prayers." Mother. "She's a dear little thing. I wish I could send her a present." Elsa, "Suppose you buy her some trifle for Mother and for me, and tell her they are from Mother and me, with love. She'd understand." W. "A good idea, and I'll do it. There won't be the blank there otherwise would have been." The doctor. "I think you had better go now." W. "Goodbye, Mother. Any message for Father?" Mother. "Give him my love for me." So I kissed her goodbye, and we all three left. I parted from the other two almost at once, and returned to Earth. Chapter 36, Mother Gets Better. October 16, 1916. On entering the astral plane, I went first to the house where HJL and RLW were. They were both there, and Rex said, "We've been waiting for you to join us before visiting Mother." J. W. "Have you seen her since last I was here?" RLW, "Yes, several times. She's quite comfortable and going on well. We started off, and on the way talked of various matters, the war in particular." On reaching the hospital, we passed into Mother's room after a short wait. Mother was very pleased to see us, and promptly asked me how B was, and whether I had done as she wished with regard to a present. I had already answered the same question asked by Rex, but went through it all again, and told her what I had got for her. I further told her how pleased B was, and that she always prayed for the two grandmas and Uncle Rex. Mother. "Was Mrs. L. dead, then?" J. W. "Yes." Mother. "Why isn't she with you others?" J. W. "She's in a higher plane, along with H and Miss B." Mother. "The same churchy lot. Well, I don't want to go there, anyway." J. W. "I don't suppose you will. Like attracts like." Mother. "Why am I here? I did think, when I died, I would get out of the doctor's hands, but I seem still to be surrounded by nurses and doctors. Can't you take me away, Rex?" RLW. "You've got to get well before I can. You're getting better every day." Mother. "There aren't any days here. I want to go to a theater. A nurse." "So you shall, dear. We'll put you in a chair, and take you there now." Mother. "I don't need a chair. I can walk all right." She got out of bed, and I noticed she was clad in a long, grayish-white garment, but as soon as she tried to walk she collapsed on the floor. She didn't hurt herself, however. The nurse and I helped her up, and she sat on the bed. She sat up quite well, did not hunch herself up as she had done on Earth. The nurse. "Let me do up your hair." Mother. "Yes, and you must dress me properly." The nurse. "Why you are dressed?" Mother. "I call this a nightdress." The nurse. "Oh no. It's the dress you'll wear for some long time yet." And turning to us, she added, "We'll be out in the waiting room very shortly." And she was, with Mother in a bath chair, and accompanied by the doctor, to whom I spoke quietly. J. W. "Doctor, how is it she can't walk?" Doctor. "I thought I explained it all to you last time you were here. Only you mortals are so dense. It's a case of the mind dominating the body. Her mind, which was very material on earth, reproduces here the most prominent features of her former bodily infirmity. But you notice that the very things which were not selfish and material are the ones on which she is most clear. Thus her love of children, especially of your little girl, she is quite clear about that. Practically no clouding of the intellect at all when she's talking of her. The nurse. Yes, she talks about me almost all the day. Don't you, dear? Mother. She's a dear little thing. I wish I could see her. And she began to cry. It took quite a long time for the nurse to comfort her, and she did so mainly by talking about the theatre to which we were going. We went down several passages, and came to a theatre in the building. The nurse. We run these plays almost exclusively for the benefit of the patients. They are not very high-browed stuff. Of course, that sort of thing would be beyond most of our patients. The theatre was very much like one on earth, except that almost all the stalls and pit were given up to bath chairs. In the dress circle and upper circle, there was no gallery, those who could walk were seated in ordinary seats. The play was an innocent farce of a fairly rollicking nature, and judged by the roars of laughter that greeted it, it was fully appreciated. Mother enjoyed it hugely, and as she was wheeled back, said, "I haven't enjoyed myself so much for ages. Be sure to tell H that they have theatres here and no churches. He won't believe you." J. W. Right, I will. Mother. What is he doing now? J. W. Staying at M. We continued talking like this on various domestic matters till we reached the room, when Rex said to the nurse, "Aren't there any good plays or concerts here?" "Rather," she replied, "didn't you know of it?" And she told him there was a good theatre and an opera not far away, and added, "We have soothing sorts of concerts here. You're always welcome. Ask them at the main entrance. But if you want rather stronger meat, you'd better try the opera or the theatre." Rex was highly elated at this news, and we three parted from Mother. Soon after leaving the hospital I felt the call of the world and returned. Chapter 37, RLW Visits the Opera. October 23, 1916. On arriving at the house where RLW and HJL lived, I found them both waiting for me. "JW, how is Mother?" "RLW, about the same, I think. We'll go and see her soon. I've been going to the opera lately. There's quite a number of good singers here. I heard Faust and Lohengrin in the Huguenots, also a new one composed over here." "JW. Who by? And what is the name of it?" "RLW. It was a version of Alcestis, and was by Wagner. He's not in this plane, he's higher up, but some of the operatic folk got into communication with him and produced it here. He's in the sphere of belief without acts. It was very fine. Thoroughly Wagnerian. But of the type of Tannhäuser rather than of Tristan. Still, it was not exactly like any of the work he did on earth. I think it's better and freer." "J. W. I suppose the singers were from this astral plane?" "RLW. Yes, all of them. There were no very famous people, but the general level was distinctly high, above that of the usual company one saw at Covent Garden, though the stars there were better than the people who took the principal parts here. Now, let us go on to see Mother." So we set off for the hospital, and in due course reached it. Here we found her seated in a chair looking out of the window, and she was delighted to see us. We talked about domestic matters, and she asked how Father was getting on, and I told her. She appeared fairly interested. "J. W. Have you been to the theatre since I last saw you?" "Mother. Yes. By the by, where is C.H.? I thought I'd see him when I got over here. I haven't seen any of my own family. There doesn't seem to be any arrangements here for sending letters to one's friends or even finding out where they are." The nurse. "When you are better, dear, you will be able to find out where most of them are. HJL, I'll try and find out about your brother." So after a little more conversation of a general order, we parted, and soon after I returned to Earth. Chapter of Lily, A Painful Subject. October 30, 1916. I found the officer with H.J.L. when I arrived. The officer. I've found your uncle CHJ.L.S. request. I was not allowed to go into hell myself, but one of the higher messengers who was going down made a special effort at my request. He found him in the 6th Division, told him about his sister having died, and urged him to make an effort. He thinks he will, and has gone back to help him. It ought not to be so hard to climb out of the 6th Division as it was for me to climb from the very bottom. The messenger said it's always easier to get hold of the so-called lost, so if you can bring any personal touch, such as a message from a friend or relation, or even merely information about them, especially if the relation is in a higher sphere than the lost soul, it makes a big difference. I had nothing of that sort to help me, entered at this moment, and said, Mother is getting on splendidly. I think soon she will be able to come and live with me here. W. Shall you tell her about her brother CH? We shall keep it from her for as long as we can, but as she gets mentally clearer she will learn to read what is in our minds, but, till that time, we shall simply say that he is at present in a different sphere, one of the divisions of the spirit plane. W. It's a hard law. The officer. Justice is always hard, and the price for all things must be paid. I know it well now, but mortals still refuse to believe it. J. W. Still, there were many far worse men than CH. The officer. And they too pay the penalty, be sure of that, although you may not see it, but suicide is a very deadly sin. He ceased, and RLW said, Let's go and see Mother. The officer went back to his work, but we three went to the hospital. We found Mother in a bath chair, and a nurse pushed her while we went with her into the park. Here we talked about private matters till it was time for me to return. The next few visits were devoted to the spirit plane, where for a short time, HJL had returned. Chapter 39, The House in the Garden. November 27, 1916. I went to the house in which RLW lived. There I found HJL and RLW. HJL, yes, I've returned here for a short time. JW, I never heard what happened when you entered the house in that beautiful old garden which we visited. RLW, when we entered we found a lady who appeared to be middle-aged. She seemed very pleased to see us, especially when we said how much we liked her garden. She answered, Yes, I'm very proud of it, and happy here. I hope, as you like the garden, you will like the house also. We spent quite a long time there. Jack, you'd have loved to have seen it. She had various rooms furnished in various styles, and each room seemed to belong to the same period as that of the furniture it contained. Thus there were Elizabethan and Jacobean rooms furnished with splendid old oak furniture in the contemporary style. There were Charles II and Queen Anne rooms, early Georgian, Chippendale, Sheraton, and so forth. She said that she had not troubled about anything later in date than 1815, as the later stuff did not interest her. He went on enlarging on the various beautiful pieces of furniture, pictures, and so forth, for some time, and then the subject changed. RLW, let's go and see Mother, she's beginning to get about a bit now. So we went to the hospital, where Mother declared she wanted to go out for a walk. She started off, and though she walked slowly and at times with difficulty, she succeeded in reaching the park with but little help. We sat there for some time, and a cat came up and jumped on Mother's lap. Mother, she often comes to me, knows I like cats, I suppose. When we started to return, the cat followed us to the gates of the park, and then sat down and watched us out of sight. J. W. I wonder who the cat belongs to? Mother. To the park keeper who lives in that cottage. I've often spoken to him. He seems rather a decent sort of man. Then the conversation turned to personal matters. After a little more desultory conversation we parted and I returned to Earth. Chapter 40, I prove my friends by means of another medium. I went to Mrs. L., the medium, as a test, to satisfy myself as far as possible that the experiences were real, and the people I met the ones I thought them to be. I had two very successful meetings. In the first she described clairvoyantly HJL, RLW, my mother, and my great-grandfather. The description of the latter was very accurate. I was surprised at his presence, as I have never met him in the land beyond the grave.